Dr. Gerald Case Blanchard is the Director of Vocal Arts at Kellogg Community College in Battle Creek. We are here today to talk about a video that was just released in honor of a very important anniversary for the program, 65 years. And may I congratulate you on a job well done in a challenging time, a virtual performance of
thank
a piece
you.
By Florence Price.
Yes, thank you.
Now, was it the anniversary that prompted this project to get started? Did you want to somehow keep singing during a pandemic and make sure that people were aware of the long tradition of vocal music at Kellogg Community College?
All of that is very true. It's a combination of things. Number one, I needed a way to keep my singers engaged. This past fall, we were on hiatus, basically. So there was no official choir this past fall because of COVID-19 and the safety issues with people trying to, you know, come together to sing. And at KCC, we are unique in a sense that, you know, we are a community college. So for my colleagues who teach at universities such as Michigan State and Western and U of M, who have the traditional aged group for their ensembles, they were able to do some things in person that, you know, my group would not necessarily be able to do because we have an age range from 18 all the way up to late 80s. And the average age for my group, the KCC Choral Union specifically, is around 55 to 60 plus. So you have an age group that is much older and they're much more susceptible to the issues dealing with COVID-19. So I had to come up with a creative way to keep them engaged. But at the same time, I'm thinking, oh my goodness, all of the things that we had set up for celebrations for our 65th anniversary are slowly flying out the window, including a concert tour that was scheduled at the end of spring, last spring, that had to be pushed back to this spring, a series of gala events, a whole host of events. So I talked to some colleagues, and I noticed a lot of my colleagues from Pennsylvania and other areas around the country were doing these virtual choral things, and that was out of my skill set. So I had no way of knowing how to even start this. So I called up a friend of mine. I'm on the board for the American Choral Directors Association, Michigan State Board. So I called up some of my choral directors, and I said, do any of you know someone who does this type of work? And a colleague of mine shared a name, and I got in touch with them, and it became a process. And January 1st is when it officially was done, and it was recently released for the world to hear and to enjoy. So that's what brought the virtual process into play. It's both to kick off the celebration for our 65th anniversary, but at the same time, to give my singers who have not been able to really come together and share the beauty of the choral arts with people around the, you know, our state, and they needed a way to express themselves creatively. So this really gave us an opportunity to do something major. And it's just the first, might I add, of a series of three that we are planning.
Oh, wonderful. Well, maybe toward the end, we'll hear what the next couple are going to look like. But I wanted to tell listeners what it does look like to see the members of the KCC choir together. There are many faces, each in their own space with headphones on. So they're clearly syncing up and coming together with something perhaps pre-recorded. We can see you conducting. We can hear the pianist providing accompaniment. What came first, the singers or the accompaniment or your conducting? How did that work?
It's many steps. And once again, I'm not the person who actually had to sync all that stuff together. My job was, A, to get my singers all to record themselves individually. So basically, they're sitting in front of their computer screen or a camera with earphones on, and they can hear the accompaniment, or they're looking at the computer screen watching me conduct while they're listening to the music with their earphones on, which is why you see everyone with earphones on. I call it the Brady Bunch square because we're all in these tiny little squares, like the Brady Bunch.
Makes sense.
And so, yeah, and they all had to record themselves. And so there's no sound except the human voice. And then they emailed those files to me. And I got all the files together in a Dropbox, and I sent it on to our recording engineer, who then had the massive, and I emphasize the word massive, task of taking each individual voice and trying to sync it up together as if we were singing in the room at the same time. And what you see in the video and hear in the video is the final product of everyone being heard individually, but the voices being combined together as if we were in the same space at the same time.
I am a trained musician and instrumentalist and have played for conductors in the past. I have to compliment you on your engagement, even through a camera. I want to do what you're saying. I mean, I have an immediate reaction of, I want to make this person happy.
Awesome. I love hearing that. We try. My group, we're a unique group of people because they're from, you know, all over the place. We have different socioeconomic backgrounds, political backgrounds, religious backgrounds. No matter what our background is, we all come together and we have a shared experience. And that shared experience is creating beauty for our world. And that world, which needs it. So sing, and to sing together and to see, you know, your colleagues once the project is done. Because obviously, as I mentioned before, when they are recording, they only see themselves or they see me conducting. They don't see each other. But when it's done, and when I released it to the singers and I got the comments back from them, oh my gosh, it was so nice, you know, seeing us singing together, even though we were, you know, some people were in Bronson, some people were in Grand Rapids, some people were here in Battle Creek and Coldwater and Marshall, all over the place. And that's the joy. They still got a sense of doing something together. The other thing that I really love about this project, which is a challenge, but I love it, is leading up to the recording, I had virtual sectional rehearsals. So I would be in the choir room at the college, and I would have a camera on me, and my accompanist would be way on the other side of the room, you know, doing her thing. We're masked, and all the sopranos would be on a screen where they could, you know, the big screen in the lecture area, so they could see each other through the camera, but only on the screen as a secondary projection. But the fact that they were all singing together, all muted, because they couldn't hear each other when they were practicing either, and I couldn't really hear them unless I tapped in to individual voices. And we did that for several weeks leading up to when they had to submit their recordings. So it was a process. And we're talking several months to make that 1 2-minute and 37-second video. It took months to do, just to kind of put it in perspective.
You know what was worth the work is the joy on the faces of the singers, and also the fact that you are highlighting a composer who so deserves to be better known. Her name is yes. Florence Price, and maybe you could tell us about how you discovered her and picked one of her pieces to feature.
I am glad you asked that question. I got my doctorate in vocal performance from Michigan State University. And as a part of that, because I was the voice performance major, I had to do an incredible amount of concerts and operas and recitals and whatnot. And one of the concerts that I did as a part of my final document and dissertation project was a recital of, it was titled, gosh, American Songs Unsung. That I believe is what I titled that talk and at the defense. And I wanted to focus on composers of color. Now, everyone knows about African-American spirituals. You know, we all can name, you know, 3, 4, 5 of our favorite spirituals, but that's not the only music that African-Americans created. Okay. So I wanted to look specifically at classical music. And then on top of that, I wanted to look at female composers of classical music of color. And that's where I was introduced to Margaret Bonds, Florence Price, and a host of others. And there's a spiritual, an arranged spiritual that Leontine Price used to sing all the time. And it was called "My Soul's Been Anchored in the Lord." And it's always been one of my favorite songs. And when I went and pulled out my recording of it, because I just wanted to see, you know, what composers she may have worked with, Florence Price was the only female composer on that particular disc. And when I saw she was the one who arranged that particular spiritual, it allowed me to start researching more about who she was. So I did that, and I was very surprised to find out that she was, in fact, the first or among the earliest, if not the earliest, significant female African-American composer to reach international acclaim. She wrote a symphony, I believe it was Symphony in E, that was first premiered by the Chicago Symphony. So she was like the very first of the female African-American composers specifically to reach that level. And I'm like, why do we not know more about her? Why do we not know anything else about her? So as I continued to look, I mean, she wrote an incredible amount of music, from piano work to organ works to works for choruses, symphonic works, of course. She won the Wanamaker Prize many, many times. She has written chamber works, all kinds of things. So in my decision to decide, okay, who am I going to use to really kick off this musical celebration for the 65th anniversary, I wanted it to be somebody of significance, but yet somebody who is not known as well, and I think they need to be known, and immediately Florence Price came to mind. And when I got my hands on the score, that was it. That was the end of the story.
The piece is called Praise the Lord, and I plan to play the performance after our conversation here so people can really get a full sense of what we are talking about. It is a direct piece with a lot of strength to it, and it feels like it could be part of a big finale to an oratorio or something.
It does. I got that same sense. That is correct. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you gave it to me, I must say.
With this particular song, I like the fact that she uses a text from the King James Version of the Bible, which is, "Praise the Lord, all ye nations, praise him, all ye people, for his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endured forever, praise ye the Lord." Well, just those words, and when you listen to the piece, every time the phrase "praise the Lord" comes in, it comes in with a new energy. It's not "praise the Lord," but it's "praise the Lord." You know, it's just very exciting and upbeat and energetic, and I can hear cymbals. And the piece was written actually for FATP chorus with piano or organ. And if we had a live performance of this work, it would have been done with I think it's like 6,000 pipes or something at the Presbyterian Church in Battle Creek, which is where we usually have our spring concerts. It would have been done in that church with all the stops pulled out on that pipe organ. It would have been, and it would just very well maybe, depending on what happens by April and May, we'll see. But, you know, it's one of those things where the piece could be done in a variety of ways, but the energy of that piece, no matter what choir sings it, you really got to get that sense of joy that comes from those words. Because she repeats that phrase, "praise the Lord," all the time. And each time, as you know, in most music, you repeat something over and over again. If you do it the same, it gets just repetitive and boring. Not this. I mean, each time there's a renewed energy. So she gives you this big flashing cymbal energy, and then we go to something a little bit more subdued, and then here we come again with a new secondary burst of energy every time that phrase comes back. And that's why I love this piece. And the singers loved it. They got into it, and we just had a lot of fun doing it.
Dr. Case Blanchard, thank you so much for previewing this wonderful project with me. We're going to hear the music now, and I wish you all the best with the Kellogg Community College music program in celebrating the 65th. I hope we get to talk again soon.
Yes, thank you so much. Have a wonderful new year, folks. Thank you for having me.